Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Kenya's President Uhuru Kenyatta returns home from the International Criminal Court to cheering crowds and a message of welcome from his deputy, William Ruto.
On behalf of the people of Kenya, while you were away, we prayed for you. We want to march forward. Kenya wants to make progress. We want to transform our nation.
And as parliamentarians from more than 50 countries convene in Cameroon, we hear why life is still tough for women in African politics.
There are some places where if you stand up and talk as a politician, some think that, oh, this woman cannot be our leader. We want a man to be our leader.
And in our Learning by Ear series later in the programme, parents and children are exposed to more family drama when we pay another visit to the Crossroads generation.
Top story.
Thousands of Kenyans gave President Uhuru Kenyatta a rapturous welcome on his return from a pre-trial hearing at the International Criminal Court in The Hague on Thursday. Kenyatta, who faces crimes against humanity charges, had temporarily handed power to his deputy William Ruto before leaving. From Nairobi, Alfred Kitty reports.
It was pomp and colour at the Jomo Kenyatta International Airport as President Kenyatta alighted the Kenya Airways flight from Amsterdam Schiphol Airport and went straight to inspect a guard of honour by the Kenya Defence Forces. Supporters of the President lined up along the road with banners written on "Our President, Our Hero" as traditional dancers and musicians unleashed their best vocals to welcome him back home. Addressing his supporters in Kiswahili language, President Kenyatta said he was optimistic the case at The Hague will finally be dismissed.
Tunashukuru maombi yenu.
We thank you for your prayers and we assure you that Kenya is stable, therefore there's nothing to fear. When God is on our side, victory will be on our side. I have no doubt everything will be okay.
Mambo yote yatakuwa sawa.
Deputy President William Ruto, who together with cabinet ministers and some members of parliament were at the airport to receive the president, had this to say.
On behalf of the people of Kenya, while you were away, we prayed for you. We want to march forward. Kenya wants to make progress. We want to transform our nation. And that is the responsibility and the job Kenyans have given to you.
Kenyatta's arrival back home has relieved many Kenyans of the tension and anxiety, with many uncertain of what will become of his case with the ICC.
Alfred Kitty reporting from Nairobi. And as the Kenyan leader returned home, Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni has advised African countries to review their membership of the International Criminal Court. He said it was wrong for the court to summon a sitting head of state. However, rights groups and supporters of international justice have repeatedly backed African membership of the court. From Kampala, Alex Jitter reports.
President Uhuru Kenyatta was scheduled to join his counterparts from the East African Community and the South Sudan at the East Africa North Corridor Summit in Kampala. But he was in The Hague hearing accusations labelled against him on his purported role in the post-election violence in Kenya in 2007. This rubbed Uganda's President Yoweri Kaguta Museveni the wrong way.
His Excellency Uhuru Kenyatta was supposed to be here, but the big boys summoned him. So you must come to The Hague. The African Union Assembly of Heads of State resolved that no African sitting president should be summoned by that court. This resolution was taken to the Security Council, where there is no permanent member from Africa. That group, the Security Council, did not see much merit in the collective wisdom of the African leaders. And the court summoned President Kenyatta on the eve of our summit here.
Constitutional and human rights lawyer Nicholas Opio, however, believes the actions of the ICC are justified. Opio says African countries can only withdraw from the ICC if they have a stronger reason.
State parties are allowed to withdraw from any treaty they have signed up to, But that withdrawal must be based on sound reasons, must be based on legal reasons. I don't see any that the African heads of states are advancing. In every situation where the ICC has been involved, are there no victims? They are victims.
Ugandan President Yoweri Museveni has now advised African countries to reconsider their membership to the ICC.
The problems that occurred in Kenya in 2007 and that happened in other African countries are first and foremost ideological. ICC, to handle them just as legal matters, is the highest level of shallowness. My view is that at the next summit, African countries should review their membership of the ICC treaty. The ICC is turning out not to be the value addition product that we had expected to be. It is instead a biased instrument of post-colonial hegemony.
The idea of forming an African Court of Justice has been discussed before, but lawyer Nicholas Opio says until that happens, Africa should be part of the ICC.
I think in my view, in global justice, we have to have a supercontinental body that will be able to provide an alternative justice process. In the absence of that system, we'll only be promoting impunity in the African continent.
And that report was compiled by Alex Jitter in Kampala.
Africa Link, because Africa is more than just a headline.
The warring factions in South Sudan have missed a deadline to form a unity government. Back in August, President Salva Kiir and his rival, ex-Vice President Riek Machar, signed a ceasefire deal under which they committed themselves to drawing up a power-sharing agreement by Thursday, October the 9th. Thousands of people have been killed and nearly 2 million have fled since fighting broke out in December 2013. This report by Max Borowski has been adapted for Africa Link by Assumpta Latus.
Salva Kiir and Riek Machar were supposed to end the fighting and establish a unity government by the beginning of October. If this was not achieved, IGAD, an East African regional body, said action would be taken against those responsible for the crisis. Yet the deadline has passed, and instead of slamming the Kiir's government and Machar's rebel groups with sanctions, IGAD has extended the deadline until October 16. International experts like Wolf Christian Paez of the Bonn International Center for Convention, BICC, see literal hope for an outcome of the peace talks in the near future.
IGAD has proven itself a toothless tiger when it comes to South Sudan. It does not know how to deal with sanctions, and the world has lost interest in the conflict. To my knowledge, the UN Security Council has also made no serious attempts to implement sanctions against the warring parties in recent months.
The most recent talks came to a standstill over the creation of the new prime minister's post for an interim government. The post would be given to a representative of the rebel faction, and its holder would head the government alongside the president. Both sides had initially agreed to the plan, but they were unable to agree on the rule and responsibilities that would come with the position. This brings us to the heart of the problem, explains Nia Titi Mama, director of the South Sudanese think tank, the SUDD Institute.
No side has so far come out and say, no, we don't want this to happen, we don't want transitional justice, we don't want a reconciliation. You know, they appear to be contented with all those critical issues that the people want. And the power sharing seems to have been the controversial at the moment.
According to Titi Mama, all the diplomatic pressure and the sanctions will not solve the crisis. Perhaps foreign go-betweens could help to break down the hate and mistrust between the political parties and the different ethnic groups.
The hate propaganda that has been going on actually has been making it really difficult for the parties to really realize that a country is greater than individuals.
The periods of peace with the Republic of Sudan and building of an independent South Sudan are examples of how at least a fragile peace was established after years of brutal civil war.
That report was written by Max Borofsky. Increasing the number of women active in politics, that was one of the goals that the Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, or CPA, set itself 20 years ago. The CPA campaigns for good governance, democracy and human rights and is currently holding a conference in the Cameroonian capital, Yaoundé. That prompted our correspondent, Moki Kinseka, to investigate why the corridors of power for many African women remain discreetly, or not so discreetly, blocked.
Women make up the majority of the population of most African countries and therefore may think they should use their numerical strength in democratic processes. But Ngala Esther of Cameroon's parliament says the road to politics is thorny for women.
As a widow, I did not have it easy. They went to my husband's grave in the night and robbed while washed. The chiefs told the women that their farms will be seized and they will not have anything to take care of their children. Men think that women should not be given the chance at all.
I set out from Ngala Esther's native northwestern Cameroon. Chin Joseph, traditional ruler of Kitukela, says as far as the ancestral traditions he inherited are concerned, there are no go zones for women.
No, 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 no. A woman can never be the phone of soap. But normally when the phone pass away, they usually bring a woman who will be sitting while waiting for the instrument of the phone.
It is a similar story all over Africa. Zanaibu Matutu from Tanzania says,
there are some places where if you stand up and talk as a politician, some think that, oh, this woman cannot be our leader. We want a man to be our leader. We were brought up that women should remain behind and men should come front.
On the sidelines of the CPA conference, women groups have been canvassing for more involvement in politics. Gender specialist Cameroonian-born Vivian Kendeme says it has not been an easy task convincing men that women can do well in politics.
The belief that the role of the woman is in the kitchen makes the woman unable to stand because the men will not even permit you to talk. In most cultures, the women don't own land. In the marital home, you are considered a stranger. And if your husband does not give to you, no matter how much you love politics, you will not have the money to prepare yourself.
Despite the obstacles, some women have made significant gains in political roles in Africa. Liberia and Central African Republic have women as presidents. Ngala Esther says she hopes to be like them, and so she is working hard to overcome all hurdles.
I took it as a challenge. I will continue. And there were many widows and many other people who had the same problem. They voted for me because I stood firm. I continue to say that a woman will play a better position in parliament because she is the homemaker and knows the problem of a man and knows the problem of a woman and knows the problem of a child.
Moki Kinseka reporting. Time now to join the Crossroads generation, and we hear how Lulu is struggling with an estranged husband and a pregnant daughter.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Good to have you back for our radio drama Crossroads Generation Facing the Consequences.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking.
We are on the 25th episode of this second season, and there's been a lot going on recently. In the last episode, Mercy's father Msoto was released from the police station. He'd been held there for months on suspicion of carrying out a robbery at the house of Mercy's classmate Nikki Jumbe. Eventually, it was proved that he didn't do it, and Miss and Mrs. Jumbe are now very remorseful for suspecting him. But when Inspector Mary released Msoto, she reminded him that he's still being charged with another crime.
You have admitted that you sold your own child to Mr. Mukaraba, and for that, you will have to be punished. You will report to the police station every day from now on, Msoto.
Okay.
We'll let you know when your case will be heard.
Yes, Inspector Mary.
While Msoto was in prison, his wife Lulu was struggling to feed her pregnant daughter Mercy and her twin sons Kadu and Banda. But now she started her own business and their financial difficulties seem to be over.
Mom, ever since you opened that vegetable stall, all we eat is meat.
Have you already forgotten how we used to eat green kale and sugarless porridge all the time because we didn't have any money?
This 25th episode is called By the Way, and it starts at Mercy's home where her mother Lulu is very busy.
I need to hurry up and pack these vegetables. My customers will complain if I'm late. Who can that be? Come in.
Hello, Lulu, my wife.
Msoto, what are you doing here? Weren't you told at the police station that you're not welcome in this house?
But Lulu, this is my house. Mercy and the boys are my children. How can you deny me entry to my own house?
Your house? The last time I checked, I was the one paying the rent and feeding the children you so proudly call yours. And I didn't sell any of them in order to do it.
My wife, please. I am so sorry I sold our baby girl to Mkaraba. But they've said we have a real chance of getting her back.
Excuse me? We? For your information, when they let me have my daughter, you will not come within 100 feet of her. Do you understand me?
But, by
the way, your daughter, the one you didn't sell, is pregnant.
What? Mercy is pregnant? See? I always said it was a waste of time educating girls. We should have married her off when we had the chance.
Unbelievable. You still talk like that after everything you've done. And in case you've forgotten, our baby girl was not the only child of ours you sold. You gave our two boys away to your sister Lena, who sent them to work in the mines. I am glad she's paying for what she did to them. Banda almost died because of a sickness he caught there. And Kadu still has nightmares.
Lulu, please.
Just go, Msoto, before I call the police.
All right.
And don't come back here again.
Mosi, how long do we need to ride in your truck before we are back in the city?
I know, Banda, I know. We pass Kido Town and then we cross the bridge and then we'll be in the city. Right, Mosi?
Not quite, Kadu. We still have 3 more towns to pass before Kido. I thought you'd know by now. We've made so many trips together to bring back your mother's vegetables from upcountry. Hey, what's wrong with you? It says no overtaking here.
Wow, look at that truck. It's going so fast. Mosi, go faster, like they do in the movies.
Yes, Mosi, our truck's newer than that one. Can't beat us.
No, kids. That is dangerous driving. That driver almost hit us. Do you have your safety belts on like I told you?
Yes, Mosi.
Good.
When I grow up, I want to be a businessman like you and buy a good truck like this one. And I'll drive it carefully like you do.
Changed your mind already, huh? A few seconds ago, you sounded like you wanted to be a rally driver. Kids.
They can shout all they want, but my freshly cut kale is the best. And I am sure my customers know that by now.
Hello, Mama Mercy.
Hello. How many bunches do you want?
2 bunches of kale, please, and 2 tomatoes.
Do you want the kale ready cut?
No, I'll do that myself.
As you wish, madam. Here you are, and here is your change.
Thanks, Mama Mercy.
You're going with that big car of yours. Can't you see I'm standing here?
Sorry, madam. I wasn't going to hit you. I was just looking for a place to park. This place is so crowded. I'm looking for a lady called Lulu. I'm told she sells vegetables around here. Do you know her?
I don't know any Lulu.
That's me. How many bunches do you want?
Lulu, sorry. I'm not here to buy anything. I was just wondering if we could talk.
Talk? What about? I don't know you.
My name is Mrs. Jumbe. Your husband used to work for us. He's been released from the police station and is staying with us now.
You are Mrs. Jumbe? What does Msoto want from me? I've already told him to stay away from us.
Please, Lulu, get in the car. Let's talk privately.
Can't you see I'm busy here? I can't leave my stall unattended.
It's all right. Don't worry. We can talk right here. I won't drive away. You can keep an eye on your stall from inside the car.
I can keep an eye on it for you, Mama Masi. Go and hear what the lady has to say.
Well, okay, but only for a few minutes. Do you know the prizes?
Of course. Don't keep the lady waiting. Go.
Hey, Masi. Wake up. What are you doing on the bed? Just because it's Saturday doesn't mean you can sleep all day. I've been hard at work for hours.
Hi, Mom. Are you back already?
Masi, why haven't you cooked yet?
I don't feel very well. I think I need to talk to Dr. Roberts about it next time I see him.
Come on, Masi. You're only 8 months pregnant. You can still help me. Cut those tomatoes. So, guess who came to see me today?
Who?
Mrs. Jumbe.
The mother of my schoolmate, Nikki?
Mm-hmm.
What did she want?
That crazy woman wants to pay for your brother's schooling. She says your dad is living with them now. Can you imagine?
What? Mom, that's very good news. Kadu and Banda will be so happy. I hope you said yes.
Are you as crazy as that woman? Of course I'm not going to take her charity. I told her to keep her money. I'm saving some money and I'll send my boys to school myself.
When will that be?
Are you okay, Masi?
I'll be fine. I think I just need to lie down again. Ooh. Mom, please, I think you have to go back to Mrs. Jumbe. And tell her you're sorry and you'll accept her offer. It seems she's a very nice person. Just like her son, Nikki.
I said no. We may be poor, but we are not begs. Masi? Masi? Masi, are you okay? Masi? 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 She's so hot.
What's happening to Masi? Will she be okay? And what about Rudy and Anita, Masi's friends from school? We haven't heard from them in a while, but we'll see them again very soon in the final episode of this second season of Crossroads Generation. So don't forget to tune in next time. If you missed one of the previous episodes, just visit our website dw.de/LBE to listen to it again. You can also follow us on Facebook. Bye-bye.
And back here on Africa Link, a reminder of our main stories. Cheering Kenyan crowds welcome President Uhuru Kenyatta on his return home after appearing at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. The warring factions in South Sudan miss a deadline to form a government of national unity. We've also been hearing about the struggle to get more African women into politics as parliamentarians from more than 50 countries meet in Cameroon. You can contact this program by sending a text message to country code 49 160 957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. Do join us again at the same time tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. From me, Mark Caldwell, bye now.